depot down the pike. The gunny wore his 40-odd years well as he dismounted at Pritchard's. When the stable boy had seen to the horse's comfort, he came to the gunny's room and poured buckets of hot water over him in a big galvanized tub to wash away the road dust. Kunkel then repaired to the large fireplace in the pub and allowed himself to be overtaken by nostalgia. In the late 1840s, Wally, the middle child of 9 kids, lived with his family on a cobblestone alley in a squeezed row cottage in South Philly. During one particularly dirty winter, Wally's mother and an infant sister died of the throat disease. The other children, save Wally, were scattered to relatives. A quiet, ornery, angry, fierce kid, Wally took to the streets, and when the authorities came for him, he hid. He was finally taken to a humorless orphanage, where his failure to bend to discipline led to corporal punishment. Wally had a fight a day, and after a year of it, he ran away and begged his father to let him remain hidden in the cottage to which he had returned. But his family home no longer had the siren lure of baking bread, as it had had when his ma was alive, so Wally edged toward the Navy Yard on the Delaware River. The yard was filled with other street urchins, and he picked up penny work running errands for the sailors. It was a highly territorial environment, where one used his fists to stake a claim to work a particular barracks. Wally fought his way to the barrack housing a marine platoon. There were shoes and buttons and buckles to be shined and fresh hay to be changed and a pot-bellied stove to be cleaned, and clean he did. The Marines had far fewer bedbugs than the sailors. Corporal Paddy O'Hara, an Irish immigrant, became Wally's big brother and protector. O'Hara had lost his own family, 4 brothers and 2 sisters, in the potato famine 10 years earlier. The sole family survivor other than himself was his sister Bridget, who became a housemaid in New York. With Paddy as his big brother, Wally made his job the best in the Navy Yard. On payday, illegal boxing matches were held beyond the main gates. But before the men went to the pit, kids held preliminary fights for pennies tossed into the ring. For Wally Kunkel, at 13, this was a bonanza. As a fighter, Wally Kunkel was cursed with a special gift. He could absorb punches and never go down. Young Ironsides, the Marines called him, and Boilerplate, and Kid Granite Jaw. Then the inevitable happened. Wally took on an opponent 30 pounds heavier than himself. He showed the courage of a little bull, but absorbed a fearsome beating. Corporal O'Hara pleaded for him to throw in the towel when a sudden change of fortune occurred. Wally's opponent became so exhausted that he could no longer lift his arms or catch his breath, and that was that. After laying out the bully boy, Wally collapsed. Corporal O'Hara lifted Wally in his arms and carried him back to the barrack and declared his boxing career over. When the juvenile constable came looking, Wally was kept hidden, and the Marines advised the constable not to come looking again. Well, they had pet dogs and such, but Wally presented a different problem. Fortunately, the platoon commander, Lieutenant Merriman, was a right fair guy, and noting the men's affection for Wally, had some documents fixed up to state that Wally Kunkel was actually 16 years of age, and he was sworn in as a Marine. At 13, he became a Marine drummer boy. By 1860, 11 Southern states had formed a coalition to preserve the institution of slavery and threaten to secede from the United States if Mr. Lincoln was elected president. In November, Abraham Lincoln won. Southern states called up their militias. Southern-born officers resigned from the army and headed home to organize the rebels' army. Wally Kunkel's platoon, designated as the 1st Philadelphia Marines, was ordered from the Navy Yard and boarded a troop train that swept down from Boston and New York. The train was met at each stop by dignitaries on stands covered with bunting and bands hustling up profound patriotic music and cheering citizens. The Confederacy demanded that the federal fort guarding Charleston Harbor be evacuated.